back doing something a little different today. Welcome to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, but it's not a canonized episode, right? Like, if you go back and this was a comic book series, this would be like a spinoff.
Spinoff episode, a 0.5 if it was a book series.
Yeah, there you go. It's like when Lion King came out. Before Lion King 2, there was Lion King 1.5.
It was like Simba's day in the woods.
Jafar needs glasses.
Yeah. In the jungle.
I'm your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I'm also Mike.
And today we're doing a best original song category. We want to do something, have a quick hitter for you guys out there, and give you kind of a short version, a short episode that is yes. Not such a deep dive and so heavily in with the stats and the box office and the what have you. Something a little quicker, a little lighter, and we're hoping to do these semi-regularly, somewhat regularly.
Yeah, we're getting ourselves ready for YouTube for sure. We're also trying to stick with the Oscars. You know, we kind of have an Oscar theme as
that
podcast.
That is how we started, yes.
And essentially, we've been, you know, taking some vacations from Oscar with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with basketball movies, with Netflix.
Current event stuff, yeah. It's current the off-season, stuff. Like we said. So we want to get back to doing, easing into retrospective type stuff, and that's what brings us to these best original song episodes. Might do a couple other categories too along the way, but today we're starting with the 70th Academy Awards Best Original Song. So like we said, it's kind of a retrospective. We're going through the category. We're going to talk about the five nominees, the winner, and then we'll re-rank them. And this is going to be a lot of banter. This is not going to be so much with the facts and information.
Snarkiness.
Yes.
And shocking lack of musical knowledge or terminology.
Yes.
Because we are movie guys.
We enjoy throwing barbs at people more talented than us from our high horses.
All these musical people on YouTube are beautiful in person and in spirit.
So they need to be taken down a peg or two is what we're saying. Yes. So let's start.
Said the man in his basement.
70th Academy Awards covering the year, film year of 1997. These are the best original song category. The winner, of course, the reason that we started our first retrospective in 1997, right. The reason we're starting our first best original song episode in 1997, My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, music by James Horner, lyrics by Will Jennings, and of course performed by Celine Dion.
Salina, New Salina. Was that from Mad TV?
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes.
All right. I was trying to figure out what it was from. All right. Production Nuggets, eighth best selling single of all time. 18 million copies sold.
I think it should win.
Celine originally did not want to record the song because she had just done the theme for another movie, another little known picture called Beauty and the Beast in 1991. Recording this, Tommy Mottola claimed that Celine recorded the song in one take, and that was what was eventually released.
Here's your zillion dollars. Thank you for coming in.
The song won 4 Grammys, an Oscar, and a Golden Globe. It also won a Billboard Music Award for Soundtrack Single of the Year, and oh yeah, it's been named one of the Songs of the Century, a top 25 song list by Recording Industry Association of America.
Yeah, there are performers that want an EGOT, and this song basically EGOT it on its own. So this is like the pantheon song when you think of Oscar songs and crossover appeal and blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. So in the movie, it has many iterations, right? I mean, it's all over the place. It's kind of the Jack and Rose theme.
Yes.
The most famous kind of backdrop for the instrumental of the song.
We mentioned in the 97 retrospective, I can't believe how many times it plays in that movie.
Right. It is the anthem of the movie, but it that central scene is the I'm Flying scene where Jack and, you know, first date.
I'm the king of the world!
No, but probably one of the perfect all timings for first kisses.
This song is perfect. This is a perfect Oscars song, and it was used perfectly, if not, you know, beaten to death a little bit by its placement in the movie itself.
Now look, Leo is 115 pounds.
In the movie, yes.
He's got 1 foot that looks like it's, you know, through a bar there.
Yeah.
He's not that sturdy.
No.
I just want to say that.
No, he's got a little, you know, he's... Also, he will sink at the end of the episode. So he's when you say soaking wet.
That's foreshadowing. That's what we say in the business.
Spoiler-free episode? The music video, of course, is one of the classic 90s music videos about Celine singing and interspliced with scenes from the movie Titanic. I love those 90s videos where it was like music from and inspired by the motion picture.
I had a lot of fun watching these old music videos, I agree. These are the music videos I pretended not to watch when I was a youngster.
Yes.
I was just on. I left the TV on. Brothers or parents would walk in.
Like you got the R&B singer dancing and grooving in the background. Is like
tears coming down my cheeks.
It's like Eddie Murphy and Nutty Professor in the fat suit. It's like having nothing to do with what's being sung about in the song.
So this music video, Mike, was like the best trailer for the movie going, all right? In terms of
what has happened to music videos today and how they're like, so they're only existing as a tool for marketing all these products and stuff. That's what these were in the 90s. Like, they were supposed to just be running trailers for the movie that they were representing.
Oh, it was gorgeous editing. I want to re-record that retrospective now that we did our second episode, because rewatching the music video was glorious. I do want to ask you, what was the worst green screen backdrop, the music video or the actual movie?
Oh man.
Because we want to be balanced here.
Yes.
We're gushing.
And the answer is, of course, the music video.
Yeah, it was
production value, production budget, probably slightly less.
I think there's like a green haze between Celine and the backdrop.
The song also is terribly important if you ever go on YouTube and watch the Titanic in 5 seconds video. This song is the punchline. It's hilarious. I watched it probably a billion times in college.
Titanic,
I just laughed my ass off.
Five seconds?
It's so funny. Oh, just check it out if you've never seen it. The Oscars performance, I mean, she was an angel. Celine Dion was an angel. If you ever go back on YouTube and watch
black,
this.
Black, classy dress.
She's surrounded by this orchestra that's all in white. It's three-tiered orchestra with rolling clouds coming out.
The full orchestra treatment. And is that Rose's necklace from the movie? What is she wearing? Oh, my God.
As soon as the curtain came up on her performance, it was over for everybody.
They were clapping like crazy. I mean, we watched 9 Oscar performances. The Trisha Yearwood one wasn't available, but for these two pods we're doing, she got the most applause.
Yeah, well, and rightfully so, because that song was a dynamo back in 1997 and 98, 99, 2000. I'm going to keep counting until we get to 2018, because people love this song still today. I think with that setup, though, when the curtain came up, it was a freaking triple-tiered orchestral background on the same night where people nominated for Best Song decided to go acoustic and solo and alone and just having the stage to themselves.
There's a point in the song, too, where I think the whole crowd is singing along. Pretty sure.
I think she could have just, like, belched in the mic for, like, 5 minutes and still at least finished second.
Right. She whacks her chest pretty hard, though. Like, when, you know, you're here. I have a beautiful voice. Yeah, no, that's a good smack.
Let's go to the second song. Here's a clip.
I have often dreamed of a far off place where a hero's welcome would be waiting for me, where the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and a voice keeps saying, this is where I'm meant to be.
Yes, that of course was Go the Distance from Hercules, music by Alan Menken, lyrics by David Zappel, performed notably by Michael Bolton.
Yes, Roger Bart, who is an acclaimed character actor by now, he was in American Gangster as a U.S. attorney. He was also in the remake of The Producers as Carmen Gia. He's a good actor, and he plays young Hercules. So this is way back early in his career, getting some acting credits, 66 credits on IMDb. He sings as young Hercules and does a pretty nice job.
Decent voice.
But Michael Bolton kind of takes the anthem to another level in the climax.
Well, it's a very Disney song, but here's the problem. This song is a Michael Bolton song. When people hear this song, they don't think of the movie Hercules. I didn't know this was from the movie Hercules. I just thought it was a Michael Bolton song. So having that disconnect, I mean, Titanic and My Heart Will Go On are so interwoven together in lore and social and pop culture that, you know, you, of course it's an Oscar song. This one, it's a Michael Bolton song. Long-haired Michael Bolton, might I add.
You're also scaring me because the fact that you know this is a Michael Bolton song, you listen to Michael Bolton a lot there, Mike? Insert the Office Space jokes now.
Tell me how am I supposed to live without you?
Never heard of
all them. All of them. I like all of the songs.
Talk about the music video.
We're such dorks. I set myself up for my own joke, ignoring your joke. We said banter, and it's just, I don't know.
This music video was something to behold.
Yes. Two kids, you know, sneaking around the museum at night.
This is Night at the Museum. This is the basis for Night at the Museum. The statues come to life. They follow the kids around.
And they're sneaking around being chased by a security guard, but Michael Bolton's in the foyer just belting it out. I mean, as music video premises go, you know, this is fairly high concept.
High concept?
As music videos go.
But there's no payoff. It's just like statues come to life, people walk around, security guard looking, and then that's it.
Cartoons and the ancient plates and
vases
and...
It made no sense. There was no delivery. One of the more artistic pieces. It's like a Michael Bolton music video brought to you by David Lynch.
Michael Bolton wearing a full black leather, jet black leather outfit, though.
And with long hair there, no hair when he went to the Oscars and performed.
Yeah, they cropped all of his shots, essentially.
Short hair Bolton.
All of those shots right on his forehead. They didn't go higher than that for the long hair. Yeah, I mean, he was phasing out the long hair, maybe.
His Oscars performance was pretty minimalist. It was just kind of him up front of stage, in front of the orchestra.
Right. I like the hair. I think they meant to give him a top hat with that jacket. That is like the duster of tuxedo jackets. I don't know what it's called. I'm not refined enough to know that. But it's a long-ass tuxedo jacket. And it's weird because in the music video, he does not know what to do with his hands. Just like they're on his side and he'll lift it and it's really awkward. And then
he keeps wanting to run them through his hair since he's got it still.
Right. Well, he's actually singing. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So the first two songs for the best original song, Michael Bolton, Celine Dion, we are in peak 90s. Here's number three. That's Journey to the Past from the movie Anastasia. Music by Stephen Flaherty. Lyrics by Lynn Ahearns, most notably sung by Aaliyah. What do we got?
In the movie, it was sung by actress Liz Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, reprised for the music videos. Damn, that cartoon dog was cute, Mike. As cartoon dogs go.
I don't remember this song like vividly until I re-listened to it. And at the end of it, I just wanted to be like that gif of the Rock, like standing and applauding, like, damn fine job. Beautiful song.
Beautiful voices, you know, music video and the song. And here in the song, I mean, Disney has gone to the well of, you know, young girls singing in a forest.
Anastasia is not Disney, my friend.
Oh, no?
No, 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 no.
Who was it?
It was like a Fox
WB
thing.
So whoever copies Disney goes to the well of young girls singing in a forest with animals, very animated animals.
Yeah, any other year, this probably wins for me, actually, because this is like a very intertwined song, and it's very catchy and Broadway-esque.
Yes.
Talk about the music video.
I liked it. I mean, she's got definite outfit game. She's wearing a lot of different wardrobe changes. You got the Russian fur coat there, and then she's got the dressing like Anastasia in disguise.
And they tried to do like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where she's kind of interacting with the cartoons a bit, and she's dancing alongside Anastasia. I didn't know this was Aaliyah that sang it, by the way, the single. I had no idea. I have this problem with Beyonce that I'm not going to harp on too much, but I wonder if Aaliyah had never boarded that plane that fateful day, if she would have that corner, that market cornered before Beyonce, because she was well on her way. She had crossover appeal. She starred in Queen of the Damned. She had her own motion picture career. She was a singer. Girls loved her. I remember everyone in my middle school like going crazy about her.
Listen,
she collaborated. She was Beyonce before Beyonce was Beyonce. She had that corner covered while Beyonce was still in the trio looking for someone to loan her a few bucks to cover her bills.
Sure. This is where my knowledge drops off.
You didn't watch TRL in the 90s? Can you pay my bills?
A little bit.
Bugaboo?
A little bit. I don't remember any of it.
Let's talk about the Oscars performance.
Too many movies in between now and then.
The Oscars performance. This was a classy as fuck performance.
Yes. Fantastic dress there. Titanic gets the full orchestra treatment, though. Kind of unfair. I mean, this is just Aaliyah. On stage by herself.
That's how you knew. Once Celine, I'm telling you, once that curtain went up, every other performer was done.
It's fixed, you see.
It was. The fix was in. But in that same vein, Aaliyah's going toe-to-toe. She's 18 at the time of this performance.
Really?
She's going toe-to-toe with Celine Dion, Michael Bolton in the late 90s, and she's crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, she's belting it out. She doesn't need a full orchestra.
I'm angry she died. Number four.
How do I get through one night without you? If I had to live without you, what kind of life would that be? Oh, now I need you in my arms, need you to hold. You're my world, my heart, my soul. If you ever
Dorado.
From Con Air, music and lyrics by Diane Warren. Here we go.
Performed by Trisha Yearwood. Originally sung by Leanne, well, originally sung by Diane Warren, but before Trisha Yearwood, I think Leanne Rimes did it. Or
best sung by Mike One.
God damn it, Jerry Bruckheimer. In the movie, this is some awesomely bad Jerry Bruckheimer scenage. Right there at the end, Nicolas Cage with a bizarre accent, you know, motioning to his wife and daughter, almost crying, as the daughter's super cute and the wife, you know, just wait for his final, you know, the hug scene. Mm-hmm. You got John Cusack reaction shots, which might be the best reaction shots, by the way.
Not in 1408.
It's an adorable Nicolas Cage. It's an adorable little girl. It's an adorable family. It's adorable.
So, look, it's a black mark on my life that I've never actually seen Con Air.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I'm not proud of that.
No, it's not. You're fully in your right to say you haven't seen that movie, and you're okay, my friend. You're okay.
But that said, you could have given me like 1,000 guesses as to what movie this song was inspired from, and I wouldn't have come up with Con Air in a billion years. Isn't Con Air about them like convicts commandeering a jet?
Yeah, it's like convict Air Force One.
So what, how does this, is everyone
Michael
just,
Bolton haircut
just fall victim to Nick Cage's wiles? Like, do they just lose themselves staring at those chocolate brown eyes?
He is the unfairly imprisoned, the wrongfully accused,
of course,
war hero.
Of course,
he's the war hero that's been stripped away from his family, mm-hmm, and maligned and dragged through the mud, who actually becomes the hero of this scenario, this whatever they're hijacking.
And then steals cars and is gone in 60 seconds.
Which John Cusack.
Roll snake eyes on an 8mm film.
You know another Nicolas Cage movie. Good, you know two. He did a lot of movies in the late 90s, early 2000s. You're right, my friend.
For me, this isn't a winner because it's too pop. I didn't even know this was from a soundtrack, actually.
We also couldn't find the Trisha Yearwood
performance
at the Oscars. Another great trailer for the movie, though, in her music, mm-hmm, video, I would say.
Mm-hmm. It's so 90s. All these are so 90s. Just
this just reminds me of so many car rides from my childhood. Like, the radio station played this a lot.
Doing that thing with your hand out the window.
That my whole family listened to.
I'm pretty sure Delilah, this is still a staple of hers. You call him Delilah at night. This one goes out to Mark from Sue, who said she's sorry about me.
This is like, yeah, I feel like I'm
baking
living
your cat
in
or something.
I'm living in Gross Point Blank right now. Another Coos movie. But that music video definitely definitely, you know, showed the entire plot of the movie. So,
spoiler alert. That is true, actually.
So you have seen
Yeah, I've seen the condensed version of it.
Yes, you've seen it.
I've seen Con Air brought to you by Trisha Yearwood.
I do wonder if her guitarist, Trisha Yearwood's guitarist, wore sleeves at the Oscars after the music video. Because, like, all of them are dressed nicely, and it's just one dude's, like, dressed like Larry the Cable Guy, which is a little awkward.
How do I go on?
You fired. All right, so please move on.
Last one. The tube ticket's torn in half and locked. Nothing to do. Do you miss me? Miss misery like you say. Wanted us to move on so badly. Now we all want to kill ourselves.
Great transition in the movie into one of the final scenes. Robin Williams reading the letter.
Yeah, this is Miss Misery from Good Will Hunting. Music and lyrics by Elliott Smith, who was another one, unfortunately, that died too soon.
Son of a bitch stole my line, said Robin Williams. Oh, did Elliott Smith die too soon? Yeah. Oh, Robin Williams.
No. Well, both of them, actually. But yeah, oh, really? Elliott Smith died when he was 32.
I can't imagine this guy that who's started the emo movement would not be with us today.
Yeah. A lot of pent up 90s angst in this in these lyrics, but it's a solemn song, it's a sad song. I'm glad we can go out on this low note together.
I do feel like the end of Good Will Hunting is just going to bust out in Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, though. I didn't expect this song. I expect
what? You thought what?
No, you didn't watch the YouTube video?
No, I did.
They're whistling. It's like
I thought this was actually the best use of any of the five
in their movies.
Yeah.
No, it was pretty good.
Gotta Go See About a Girl became an all-time get-out-of-jail-free card to tell your buddies, you know, that you've turned to mush and need to ditch them because the heart wants what it wants.
Okay.
I'm a lover, Mike. I'm a romantic at heart.
You use Good Will Hunting to get out of hanging out with your bros?
Yes, except in my case, it wasn't Go to See About a Girl. It was literally just to go home and watch Good Will Hunting by myself.
I see. We have a movie podcast. Very good. The music video is basically Elliott Smith walking through the city in a white suit with jet black emo hair that is still wet for some reason. Paint can dropped on his head wet, followed by a cop the whole time who eventually turns off the camera. So again, you know, as music videos go, that's quite the story.
It's a Dave Matthews Band video for every day where Judah Friedlander goes around hugging everyone and brightening their day, except the exact opposite.
Right. Very good.
His Oscars performance, he went acoustic. Oscars performance, that's the way he did that song, I thought was so much better than the single cut that he did for the movie.
It's a comedy of errors, you see. It's about taking a fall. That's a good line.
You can make fun of the emo movement and all that you want, but you could tell this guy had some real pain in his life, and he was actually emoting and putting it through lyrics, and that was kind of cool.
Fits in the movie.
Very vulnerable performance, and it's serious, though. Very vulnerable.
Okay,
just him and a guitar on stage with, you know, the orchestral background's kind of subtle. And
he's my number five.
Oh, wow. Yeah, all right.
He's my number five.
Wow. I'm an alt-rock fan. I'm a pump.
Yeah, me too. It's just,
I'm a pop-punk fan.
I like that movie a lot still. I think.
It sounded like a man parroting all those genres for a little bit, though. It was a little.
Yeah. It was fun to do a deep dive into these five songs. We're going to re-rank them.
Miss Misery sounded like it belonged in the transition between two scenes in a Friends episode a little bit.
I'm trying really hard to transition right now.
No, I'm too lost in myself. Yeah. Thinking about all my ex-girlfriends now.
This was in a formative stage for you, this song? I guess so. Anything else about your former love life? Want to tell the folks?
I've never been a good person. No, this is my number five as well. We'll re-rank these. I don't know how this got nominated over like the Men in Black song. Or more importantly, the Diva Dance from The Fifth Element. I know there's not lyrics to that song, but my God, that song.
Listen, my brother Dave laughed hysterically at the opera song in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, because made
the whole theater
your
laugh.
Your brother Dave is a shell. Dave, he's an emotionless shell.
That was pretty funny, though, in the movie. Come on. Yeah, listen, Dave keeps you honest. If you make ridiculous sounds and it's ridiculous movements in a ridiculous movie, you get laughed at. And the whole theater will be laughing by the end.
Jane Zhang was the one responsible for actually reproducing the Diva Dance, the viral video that came out, I think, last year or a year before. He's a Japanese singer.
And I think both my parents would like rap and actually sing along with Men in Black. Because that was like their favorite movie in 10 years.
That's a movie song.
So I just like went back and said, I'm going, I got to put my grunge back on, turn Nirvana back on.
Just pump the Elliot Smith.
I had my Walkman back then. So no, I don't think either of those should have been nominated over Elliot Smith. Well, it's fine. I didn't research any other nominees, but.
Bad person, Diva Dance should have made it. So Miss Misery is my number five. What's your number five? What's your number four?
I have Aaliyah's Journey into the Past, Anastasia's person. Journey into the Past. And I guess I just thought the other three were used better in the movie.
It's interesting because it's totally subjective as to how you rank these, because are you talking about how they were used in the movie? Are you talking about how they are as songs? Are you talking about how they are as crossover pop hits?
Probably had the best music video.
Yeah, probably. Right. Probably. It was still an ad, though. My number four was How Do I Live? I have no connection to that song outside of listening to it on the radio and wanting a different song to play as a kid, so. My number three was Go the Distance. I just thought this was a two-person race, but it wasn't even that close of a race because Celine was just so head and shoulders above everything.
Also, my number three, it was a rousing song at the end of a cartoon movie that
we saw. It's a Michael Bolton song, though. It's not a movie song.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is okay.
I do think that Trisha Yearwood's the anthem at the end of that movie, it made me emotional. That was Jerry Bruckheimer at his manipulative worst. So again, you're probably better off for not having seen that movie.
I just want to talk in a thick, bad Southern accent, a little Cajun accent.
Hey there, honey bear. Perfect. Daddy brought you a present. It's a little dirty.
You take your present from your daddy now. Number two for me, Journey to the Past. Number one, Heart Will Go On.
Yeah, Heart Will Go On. Maybe number one of the decade. Maybe number one of the millennium.
Maybe number one ever.
Maybe.
It's up there.
We started off with a big hitter.
Yeah, we did that intentionally because we didn't think there would be a lot of fight for number one. And it is important to, this might be the biggest Oscar song of all time. If not for maybe what we do in our next episode when we do another quick hitter, an Oscars quick hitter for you. But that was it. That's the 1997 Best Original Song category. Hope you enjoyed this one. Reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts on any of these five songs. Mike and Oscar on Facebook. Mike and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar on Twitter. Mike and Oscar at gmail.com. Mike and Oscar on Reddit. Mike and Oscar.com. Let us know. Reach out to us. Say hi. And
it was fun.
Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us and keep listening to songs with us. Listen to music with us.
We'll do our best as musical critics.
Later, guys.
See ya.